to be here, because we had pastor appreciation, which was phenomenal, and I got a lot of cards from my youth and their parents, and the love that you guys show to pastors is awesome, and I'm so thankful to just even be a part of that. Being here the past 2 years and to be able to call this church my family has been wonderful, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. That's the first to say. And the funny fact is, yes, I was a week late, because when I was looking at this position, Pastor Bruce brought it to my attention, who is the regional executive director, and he's like, oh, there's this position open, and I'm like, there's no way that someone just coming out of college would be able to even be even thought of about that. I'm like, I have absolutely zero experience, and it's one of the only full-time youth pastor positions in all of Central Region. And I'm like, there's got to be more people out there. But lo and behold, God had a plan. And it's phenomenal when you just let go and let God take control, what can happen. So tonight, if you've got it, you can put it up there, Josh. But I'm going to be talking about, how do you cultivate a culture of honor? This month is all about honor, and that's the theme. But how do you cultivate that? How do you grow that? This church is wonderful about that, but there's always more to it. There's always more we can be doing. We never want to just hit a certain point and just say, okay, we're just gonna keep it here, and we're already doing a good job, but let's just stay steady and let's just plateau. But it's such a big topic, honor. What does honor mean? What does it look like? What do we do when we honor someone? Or what do we do when we dishonor someone? But there are so many sermons you could do based on that, and how to deal with honor. But we at First Home Bible have established this culture of honor with pastors, with people above you, and we've been fine-tuning this for years. But like I said, there's always room for improvement. And God gave me this sermon, and I'm like, okay, how does this apply to us? I look at Pastor's Day, and then I look at other pastors around the area, and they're like, man, your church puts that on for you? I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. We get to have fun, but then honor those above us. And so tonight we'll be looking at the importance of cultivating that culture. But then what do you do after you've cultivated that? Like, does it just end there when you've just got this culture? Or what does it look like past that? And so what does a culture of honor mean? When you think about it, what does a culture of honor look like? And it's basically and essentially, it's us practicing the love of God to those that God has placed in authority over our life. And it's not just once in a while, but it's on a daily basis. It's not every Sunday or every Sunday and Wednesday, but it's when we get home after church. It's when we get to work on Monday. It's to when we get to school, as I tell my youth. It's every single day, day in and day out. What does that look like in our lives? It's treating one another with respect and submitting to those that are in authority, just as Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 and 6. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Ephesians 6. If not, there's black Bibles in the pew in front of you. But it's Ephesians 6 is what we're going to be looking at in verses 1 through 9. And so you can turn there while I keep going, but we honor and value others as a way of expressing the love and nature of Christ. Jesus was the first to kind of show how to honor those in authority. And so we just need to follow the path that Christ already put forth. But it's not only honoring those called pastors. I think we all know and we all do a very good job of honoring pastors, because we view them as God's ordained. God's placed them in position, but then think about it. There's so many other people that we should honor in our life. For the kids here, it's your parents. For others, it's your boss. Maybe for wives in here, it's your husband. Or husbands, it's your wives. There's so many people that we see on a daily basis that we need to honor that sometimes we don't necessarily do. Maybe it's people on staff here at the church. Maybe it's volunteers at the church that we need to honor. Maybe it's the board of elders. As I was preparing this, I was thinking, I'm like, so we do a very good job at honoring pastors. But I'm like, how many people fall through the crack that do work here at the church that people don't even know about? And then I was trying to contemplate and come with all the numbers that people here at the church that help. I'm like, okay, we have the pastors, and we have the board of elders, and we have staff people. And I'm like counting them up, and there was like 15 people there. I'm like, okay, but there's other people. Like, then we have the volunteers. And so I was asking everyone. I asked KWAG and DWAG, and I was looking at people that I knew, and Abby, who all was here on like helping and volunteering. And I came with a number of roughly between 60 and 70 people help here at church. And I'm like, wow. Like, we run about 260 people on a given Sunday, and 60 to 70 help. That's 23 to 27%. I love numbers, so I always like statistics like that. And so I'm like, wow, how many of those people do we forget to honor? And it challenged me because I have a youth staff, and I'm like, what could I do better to honor them? Because it needs to flow from God on down to the kids. Everyone needs to be honored. What does that look like? It's totally different for each level. But everyone needs to be honored. Parents need to honor their kids, and kids need to honor their parents, and vice versa for everyone there. And so, a very important thing about building a culture of honor is choosing not to hold things against other people. Or maybe it's not even to not hold those things, but it's not to think the thoughts, condemning them, or maybe that's not so nice about that person. Which, it's so easy to just, a thought pops in your head, and it's like, oh, well, they did this, and now I'm upset, so then I have this thought. But we need to take captive those thoughts. Instead of condemning them with our thoughts, or maybe holding things against them that they did, we need to genuinely care for them and consider them as better than ourselves. Just like in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says that we need to honor them and think of them better than ourselves. And so we're called to submit to one another. But what does submitting to one another do? How do we do that? And what it does is it shows honor to them. When you submit to someone, you honor them. As I submit to Pastor Harris, it honors his position and honors him. If he asks me to do something, I do it out of honor for him and honor for God. And so, we look at how Christ loved the church. And Christ gave himself up for the bride. That is honor. To dedicate and give up something that you would like to do to make sure that something gets done for someone else, that's showing honor. Maybe you don't necessarily want to do it. So I always challenge my kids. I'm like, do what your parents asked the first time without grumbling. And that'll change how your parents view you. They'd be like, oh, well, they didn't even talk back to me, or they didn't even grumble under their breath. And it's like, wait, are you okay? Do you feel okay? And it's amazing what that does. But then on the flip side, why are we shocked when that happens? Why are we shocked when people actually honor people? It's because the culture here in today's age is not about honoring. It's all about what can I do for myself? What can I get for myself? But Jesus considered us worthy of his sacrifice. He gave his life for us to take our place. And we should consider others the same way. So instead of coming up to someone you know or a friend of yours and say, oh, well, what can I get out of this friendship or this relationship? We should be saying, what can I give up for them? What should I give up for them to honor them, to respect them, to place them in value in my life? And so this topic may not be your all-time favorite. It might step on some toes, but you know what? Those are always the best ones because those are the ones that challenge us the most. And it can be very difficult sometimes to honor people because people are never perfect. But that's okay because no one here is perfect. But you know what? God has placed people in our lives in authority for us to honor. Because something that I've really, as I was growing up, my parents would call me a little rascal because I had a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, and I took that out on others. And so it really was hard for me because I had so much pain of opening up and saying, okay, I'm gonna honor them and respect them because that means I have to trust them. Because when you honor, you make yourself vulnerable because you submit to their authority and to submit to their calling. But then in the end, it's a blessing. So when we choose to honor one another, we glorify God. Honor is a gift we give to one another, saying, okay, I honor you is meaning I value and cherish you and respect you, but also glorifying and honoring to God. And so as we're going to look through Ephesians 6, 1 through 9, we're going to kind of break it up and look at it in a closer view. And so we'll look at verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the reining and instruction of the Lord. And so, this four verses focus in on a promise. It focuses in on saying, okay, if you honor these people, this will happen. It says, children, honor your parents. Why? Because this is the first commandment with a promise. And what is that promise? It is so it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life. And I was reading this and I had to chuckle because I'm like, I was thinking of all the times I didn't honor my parents. And I'm like, well, yeah, it didn't go very well for me. I either got in trouble, I got grounded, I got spanked. My favorite and also worst one was I had to clean out the garbage can with a toothbrush and a hose. But I thought about that. I'm like, man, if I just knew this verse beforehand, I could have saved myself so much trouble. And so what is this saying? It's equipping us. It's equipping us of what? The incredible power of honor. Because if that's the promise, if you honor people, that you'll have a long life and things will go well, then why aren't more people doing it? Why aren't more people honoring others? And so the first teaching point or the first point I'm going to talk about is honor releases blessing in our lives. When we see ourselves as who we are, no better, no worse than other people, we will have the freedom and security to honor others around us. Because a lot of times, what we try and do is we try and say, oh, well, we're better, or we want to be better because we want to be the ones at the top. But you know what? As Pastor Harris and I joke around a lot, I don't want to be at top because that requires so much more responsibility than it does to submit. But then, if that's the case, then when you submit to God, doesn't He take control and take the weight off? Because, as Pastor Harris always says, there's a burden of the weight, the weightiness of that position. Because you have to care for others around you. You have to value and watch out for them. So then, when you submit to God, He'll take that weight off of you. Just like He bore it on the cross already. And so honor releases the fullness in our lives and of those who are being honored. And it releases the fullness to the one who is doing the honor. Because when you submit an honor to someone, not only are you blessing them, but then in the end, you'll get blessed. Just like when you do something for the Lord that no one else sees, you're blessing the Lord, but then in the end, He's going to come around and He's going to pour out His blessings in your life. And so, I love King David. I love his stories and everything to do with him. Just fascinates me how God could use a little boy and turn him into a king. It just fascinates me. And so, before he was made king of Israel, David first had to submit himself to a flawed and insecure leader. Think about it. In 1 Samuel verses 24, or chapter 24, verses 1 through 7, he shows that. And it says, after Saul returned from pursuing the Israelites, he was told, David is in the desert. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David. He didn't just take his trusted people. He took 3,000 men. And he went to see and look for David and his men near Craigs of the Wild Goats. And so Saul, he came to the sheep's pen along the way, and a cave was there. And so Saul went in to relieve himself, and David and his men were far back hiding in the cave. And so the men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give the enemy into your hand for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off the corner of Saul's robes. You can end there for a second. And so, as I was reading that, I'm like, okay, that's huge, because David had to submit to a leader that wanted to intended to find him out and theoretically wanted to kill David because he was insecure, because he knew that David would eventually replace him. That was his fear, and it drove him mad. And so I'm going to talk a little bit later on more on this, but think about this. If you look prior to that passage, David actually was a servant of Saul. David actually was there for Saul to make sure Saul was able to sleep. He played the harp. And so David served Saul for years, to help him. And then it blows my mind when later, when most of us know the story of David and Goliath, David came up, Saul didn't even recognize him. Which I'm like, okay, if someone was your servant and was there, I'm like, how did he, and why did he not recognize him? And so I don't know the reason for that, but I'm like, okay. So if David can honor someone who is trying to kill him, how much more should I honor someone who is in authority of me? Because I personally don't have anyone out there trying to kill me. I'm glad of that. But there's been people in my life where I'm like, okay, God, this person, like, do I really have to honor them? Because it's a struggle, because they're just mean and they're crude, and I'm like, how do I honor them? And he's like, because I have placed them in authority over your life to teach you, but also for you to teach them. I'm like, oh, okay, God. I'm like, I'll do my best. I need help. And so, as I was preparing this, I was thinking, I'm like, okay, who exemplifies honor the best? Who that I know of? And I was thinking of all the people in my life, and I'm like, okay. And so I was looking and thinking, and I was like, okay, soldiers. They're raised to honor. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. Even if it means laying in mud. But then, something that always fascinates me, and I don't know if you guys know much about it, but it's called the Sentinel Guard. And they're the guard for the Tomb of the Unknown. And if you have never watched these men, it's incredible. It's incredible. And it's a place that I've longed to go to and will hopefully one day go. But they are to perfection everything they do. From their clothes, to the way they march, to the way they swap out guards, everything is meticulous. And so I was looking at that, I'm like, man, those men are literally guarding just a tomb that they don't even know who's there. And so as I was researching a little bit more, I came over their creed, as they call it. And it says this. This is the Sentinel's Creed. This is what they live by. And it's called, "My dedication to this sacred duty is total and wholehearted. In this responsibility bestowed on me, never will I falter, and with dignity and perseverance, my standard will remain perfection. Through the years of diligence and praise and the discomfort of the elements, I will walk my tour in humble reverence to the best of my ability. It is He who commands the respect I protect, His bravery that made us so proud, surrounded by well-meaning crowds by day, alone in the thoughtful peace of night. This soldier will in honored glory rest under my eternal vigilance." That's their creed. And I'm like, wow. And it's crazy that they have in the discomfort of the elements, because as I was researching a little bit more, there's been a couple hurricanes that have come up through that area. And you can look, if you go home tonight, they kept duty through the entire hurricane. There was someone always there marching through the rain, through the wind, through the elements, because they honored and valued that tomb. Just because it got tough doesn't mean that they're like, okay, I'm going to quit. I'm going to go home, or I'm going to go below and get out of the elements because it's getting rough. But no, they stand there. And one of the guards said, as I was reading an article about it, about their creed, it says, "We're not here for ourselves." He said, "We're not down here to look good for us, but for the unknowns, the soldiers whose remains have never been identified, whose families don't know where they are." And so I was like, wow, they're doing it for people they don't even. And so we could learn a thing or two from these men. That when it gets tough, do you stop honoring those around you? When life throws you a curveball or someone makes you upset, does that mean you stop honoring them? No. Honor isn't just something that you just say, okay, well, it's ebb and flow with how I feel. No. So let's look at verse 5 in Ephesians 6. It says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with the sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves as Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve," what? "Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for doing good," or doing whatever good they do, "whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that He who is both their master and yours in heaven will not show any favor." So, in these verses, it focuses on those around you. And so my second point is, what does honor mean? What does honor mean? It means doing it with your whole heart. When it comes to honor, you can't honor half-heartedly. It's something that doesn't really work that way. You can fake honor someone half-heartedly, but to truly honor someone, it means doing it with your whole heart, with your entirety. And that means you have to trust them. That means when you go home, what are you saying and doing? When you are on break at work, what are you saying to your coworkers? When you get in your car heading home, what are you thinking after work? Or for the students in here, when you're on the bus, or maybe you're in between classes, what are you saying about those around you in honor, about your teachers? Think about David. This man was on the run from a man he was called to honor. He was fleeing for his life. And this man was his king, someone that was supposed to protect him. If you were to be caught, it means certain death. So David was in hiding, just like that verse said. And David had the chance to kill him. Saul was all alone in that cave. And so let's pick up back in verse 4 in 1 Samuel 24. And it says, "The men said, 'This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.' Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off the corner of Saul's robe." But get this, afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. So when it comes to honor, you may be the only one in your area that is honoring that person. Just like David, his men were like, "Oh, well, you know, just like the Lord said," and tailored it to saying, "Oh, it's okay." But really, it wasn't. There's going to be people called gossip that are going to be like, "Oh, well, did you hear about what she said or what that person did?" And when they say that, what does that do to your mind? It then makes you put on these goggles that are saying, when you look at that person, you are thinking those thoughts. Well, did they really say that to her? She's such a nice person. Wow, they must really be mean. Or, man, they sure put on a show. That's exactly what's going to happen. But you need to stand firm and say, "You know what? No. I don't want to hear about that. Because that's my boss, or that's my coworker, or that's my teacher, or that's someone that God has placed in authority. I need to honor them. So I don't want to hear about that. Because I need to honor them with my whole heart. And I can't do that if I hear that." Because when you hear those things, you think it just goes in one ear and out the other and it means no harm. But really what it does is gossip comes in one ear, goes down to your heart, plants itself, and then ties a string and says, I'm planted, I'm rooted, no matter what. And that's why gossip is so destructive, is because then it starts attaching strings between other strings, and then it starts skewing things totally different than what it was intended. And that's where we need to stand firm. That even though David was on the run from Saul, even though David would have been killed if he would have said, "Saul, I surrender, I give up," he still honored God's anointed in his life. I don't know about you, but how many of us would have probably just given up at that point? Said, "You know what? This person's trying to kill me. It's either him or me. I don't want to die. So how can I honor someone that's trying to kill me? How can I honor someone that doesn't want the best for me? And maybe we're not like David. Maybe we're not on the run from people who are trying to kill us, or maybe we don't have a king anymore, but how about our boss? Do we honor him or her when they ask us to do something? Even if it's menial task? That we're so much higher than doing that, but when they ask us, what do we do? What do we say? Or, like I said, what about when the boss isn't around? And some of us, it's not our boss, but our spouse. That we get with the guys or we get with the girls and start chit-chatting, and it's like, oh, well, you should have seen what my husband did the other day. Or you should have seen what my wife told me the other day. And it just starts from that. And those things are not good. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on any toes, but that's where it starts. That's where then that person is like, oh, well, next time they see him, it's like, wow. Man, I thought they had it all put together, but now, like, after so-and-so told me that, it's like, now I'm seeing them in a whole new light. Like, oh, well, are they putting on an act for church and then they go home and it's something totally different? But is that my place? No? No. They're there to honor them even if they're not an authority. I need to respect them for who they are. And so we need to honor with our whole heart. So my next point is, what does it look like to honor? And honor means to serve. And verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. To serve what? Whenever it applies or whenever it feels good or whenever it makes us look good? No. To serve wholeheartedly, which means at any point. When we honor those in authority and those around us, it means we serve them. Serving is an outward expression of honor. It means if someone says, oh, well, this needs to be done, even if it's scrubbing toilets with a toothbrush, I'll volunteer. No one else wants to do it, I'll do it. Or at the same point, maybe it's you see something that needs to be done, and without anybody else asking you to do it, you say, you know what, I'm going to do that because I see it needs to get done. So you know what, I'm going to do that and no one has to ask me. That's honor as well. Don't wait for someone to say, hey, can you do this if you see it needs to be done. That's taking the initiative. And though there's three ways you can serve someone. You can serve them in action. You can serve them in words. And you can serve them in spirit. So in actions, what does that look like? That means volunteering. Giving up your time. Volunteering around the church. Volunteering for things at your work that may need done after hours. In words, it means encouraging those in authority over you, or maybe those around you, saying, hey, I know life may be tough right now, but hang in there. And you can honor in that way, or in spirit, which means in your prayer life, you can honor them. You can pray for them. You can intercede for them. And when you do that, when you do it in those three categories, not only are you blossoming into someone who sees past what someone may do and to the honor that is bestowed on them. But then also you blossom. Because then you honor people who may not be doing things in the world that is asking of honor, but what God is asking. And so here are some observations that I was thinking about of what happens when we choose to serve and honor people. So number one is, by serving others, we elevate people and relationships. We elevate them, saying, hey, you know what? I honor you. I'm going to serve you. I elevate you. Service builds community. And it serves the community by promoting values that transcend self-interest. So instead of saying, oh, well, it doesn't suit me, so I'm not going to do it. But no, when you serve, you build the community saying, okay, I'm going to give up my time for this. When we serve, we honor God by stewarding the gifts God has given us. Service builds personal trust. Service inspires and it unleashes our true character. If you think about it, if you have ever seen someone, and I don't know if Abby's here. I don't see her. Abby is someone that I'm going to call her out. She does this amazingly. She serves so much. And it encourages me. She doesn't even know that, but it encourages me to serve more. Because I see her doing stuff. And I'm like, man, I could do that. If she can do it, then I can do it. And it shows true character. It shows not only true character, but true heart. And service influences others and creates good environment, a safe environment. Service empowers others to persevere. It empowers saying, okay, well, if I serve someone and God blesses me, you know what? That in turn encourages me to keep pushing on. And service demonstrates integrity when we practice what we preach. We say, oh, well, you know, I value kids ministry and I pour into kids ministry. But when you truly serve in kids ministry, then you'll see what actually goes on down there. And the amazing stuff that Abby is doing for the kids. Or maybe it's serving here at the church, and then you see what's going on a day-to-day basis, and you're like, wow. And then it builds a fire in your life and says, man, this is a church that I love, but then, you know what? They do day-to-day encourages me and pushes me to do more for the kingdom as well. And when we're a servant, we share the same mindset as Christ, because Christ served others around him. And like I said, when we serve, we transcend, we give up self-interest. Because serving is not about ourselves, is it? It's for others. When you serve, you say, okay, this isn't for me. I'm not getting anything out of this. But I want to pour out. But I don't know about you guys, but when I've poured out, there's been so many times where I feel like I'm there to pour into them, and then I, in turn, get poured into. And DWAG and whoever else has gone on a missions trip can attest to this, is a lot of times you go there to minister to them, but then you leave and you're like, you're scratching your head like, man, did we go there to minister to them, or did they just minister to us? And God just brought us along. And that's the crazy thing with serving and honoring. And so the hard thing is, I say all these points and it's like, oh, well, why isn't more people honoring people? And it's because the environment and the culture today is not about honor or respect. It's just not. And that's the sad thing. Because everything points to, if you honor and respect, that it's going to bless us and grow us and help us persevere. But a lot of people are just so focused on their own life. They're sitting there and all they see is me. They have like glasses that just show their life, and if it doesn't fit or help them or motivate them or give stuff back to them, they don't want to do it. And that's the sad part with so many teenagers. You look around and all they want to do is sit and play video games or talk to their friends, and really their friends, they've never really met them or hardly meet them because they're all on a screen. And it's like, man, when's the last time you got out and did something face to face? Like, they come out of the room at 11 o'clock at night or 2 a.m. and turn on the lights, and they're like, start hissing at you. It's like, what? It's because they're so focused. It's because we've gotten away from what really matters, and that's God. And here at First Open Bible, we've cultivated a culture of honor. But I want to keep going, and I don't want to stop at the culture we've created, but I want to expand it. We do such a good job at honoring those in authority, but let's keep going. Let's honor those that are next to us in the pews. Let's honor those who are younger than us that go down to class. What are we doing in our lives to honor those other people? When's the last time that you went, if you're over here on Sunday morning, when's the last time you crossed the Dead Sea or the Red Sea and went to the other side of the church and talked with someone? We don't a lot of times. And you guys, I look in, a lot of you have been going to this church for many, many years. And that's wonderful. And so it's on us. It's on us to show people who are new that culture of honor. It's got to catch. But how does that culture catch? We've got to spread it. We've got to teach it from kids growing up. We've got to show the young students, okay, what does it look to honor? Do you back talk to people in authority? If I did that, my mom would be like, psh! And I'd be ducking trying to miss it. But we've got to teach that. Otherwise, they'll never know. They never will know. Think about kids that aren't even in the church. You see them at school or you see them at Walmart and they're in the cart and their mom says, put that away. What do they do? Say, no. Says, put that away. And it's the most discouraging thing ever is when that mom, you just look on the face of that mom and she knows she can't win. And she just gives up. Says, okay, fine, put it in the cart. And it's like, wait a second. That's not what it's supposed to happen. But there's no one there to teach that honor. So we have to step up and do that. Maybe it's a heart change. Maybe it's a call to start doing something new. Start changing it up. Maybe it's, bear with me, maybe it's changing your spot in church. Maybe it's switching spots to get to next to someone that is newer, so then you get a chance to talk. Because I sit up here and I like to move around, but I see so many times people that are new, what do? They come in right at 10 o'clock and then right after they leave. I'm like, man, I wanted to talk to them, but where'd they go? Like, I didn't even have a chance. And so I've been thinking, I'm like, how do we get that chance? What do we have to do? Maybe that means moving to get closer to them and say, hey, no, I'm going to sit right next to you and I'm going to talk with you and get to know you. And then you start talking afterwards and they stay a little bit longer, and the next week they stay a little bit longer, and that's how you pour into them to teach them that culture. But that requires us to move, to start that change, to start something new. And so, tonight, I want to challenge you. What are you doing to expand the culture of honor in this church, at your work? What are you doing, or maybe you need to start doing, to build that, to grow that? Because some of you guys may not work in a Christian environment. What do you got to do then? Maybe it's small tasks, respecting your boss in front of those other coworkers. Maybe it's stopping gossip. Maybe it is moving your spot in church to get next to other people. Maybe it's a call to start serving here at church. I don't know what it is for you, but I want to challenge you, whatever God is putting on your heart tonight, tomorrow, this week to come, if it's meant to serve, then call the offices and ask, where can I serve? What can I do? There's plenty of options. There's plenty of opportunities. Or at work, do it Monday morning. Start it Monday morning. There's no time like the present. So honor should flow from God all the way down. From God all the way down to the kids. From God to the pastors, to the elders, staff, parents, the teenagers, kids. It's got to go from top to bottom. And maybe there's a break in your life. Maybe honor's flowed all the way down and it's stopped with you or someone you know. How can you help send that through and then back up? Let's pray. So Lord, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to speak, God, and to pour out to the people in this church, and that this church is a wonderful, wonderful place that I get to call home and we get to call home, Lord. But tonight, I pray that you would soften our hearts to the Spirit. Lord, that maybe there's something in our life that we need to change or to maybe just move out of our comfort zone and to say, okay, God, I know what it means to honor, but I've just been too shy or I'm not equipped enough to do what you are asking me to do. I can't do that. Lord, you would show us that you don't call the equipped. You equipped the called. I stand here as a fact of that. Lord, that I pray that everyone in this room, that you would show them a spot in their life that they need to grow in or move in, that you are calling them to show honor or respect, or maybe it's to grow honor and respect in their family. Maybe it's their home life that is in disarray because there's no honor being given. Maybe it's not being given from their kids, or maybe it's not being given from the parents down to the kids, and there's a break. Or maybe it's a break from you into the home, that they're okay with coming to church and they're like, oh, I'm all in at you for at church, but when it comes to being at home, it's chaos. Maybe they need to start letting you come into the home and start giving time for you, God. So I pray tonight, whatever that may be, God, you would show us, you would open our eyes to that. And if that's at work, let's start it today. Let's start it tomorrow. And let's not be just one and done, but let's make it a consistent part of our lifestyle, an everyday basis. Say, when we wake up in the morning, we sit there and say, okay, God, I'm listening. What do I need to do? Take 5 minutes and just unplug from everything and listen and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do today to show honor, to spread the gospel? What does it look like? Let us take that time for you, God, to do your work and your glory. Let it not be for our selfish ambition, but let's give that up for you. Say, okay, God, I don't care what it means for me. I don't care what I have to give up, but I want to serve you. So what does that look like in my life? I thank you for what you're doing in our lives and the many blessings you've already poured out. So I thank you for all of those and those to come in the future. In Jesus' name.